Father, we thank you as we approach your word this morning. We do so reverently. We do so with great expectation. Because we know that your desire for us is to walk in your truth. And your word is the truth. And as we incline our ears to hear this morning what your spirit is saying to us, we ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of the truth, that we may not just have it, but live by it. And also be in a position to help others come to the knowledge of the same truth. And so, blessed Holy Spirit, we thank you for teaching us this morning and guiding us into all truth. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says, amen. Praise God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. A few weeks ago, we began to look at this subject that we titled, Three Deeds of Faith for Daily Victorious Living. Again, God's plan for us as his children is to walk in victory at all times. There is no defeat for any of us as Christians. There is no place in the Bible where you will find God saying, well, I've planned for you to be defeated. No, God has planned for you and I to win at all times, to have victory in every situation. Bible says that we are more than conquerors through him that has loved us. God's plan for you and for me is to have testimonies of victory always. But then for that to happen for us, we have to walk in obedience to the word of God. And I believe that's where we stumble. We all want victory. I'm yet to see somebody that will say, I don't want victory in my life. We all want it. But then there is a responsibility that God demands of us. If we want help from God, we have to obey him. We have to do what he has demanded of us in the Holy Scriptures. And as long as we do our part, God never fails to do his own part. He never fails. He is always ready. But he is waiting for our faith, you see. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And faith is so simple. It's just a question of you believing the word of God and acting upon it. And that becomes acceptable in the sight of God as your duty of faith toward him. And he will do the rest. Now, we've looked at the first part. Again, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The first part we looked at already is in verse 16, which says, rejoice evermore. We've taken time to share on that. Please revise your notes. Then you can always go to the website and listen to it over and over again. It's all there for free. Just listen to the message over and over again. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we've looked at that. We need to rejoice evermore. As Christians, we are a people of joy. We know the joyful sound. Joy has nothing to do with our circumstances, whether they are favorable or not. Joy is one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and it is constant in us. We just need to stir it up no matter what is going on the outside of us. And as we shared, when we stir up this joy, the strength of God will become available to us and for us to overcome. Nehemiah 8 verse 10 says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And it is this joy that enables us to benefit from the salvation that Jesus purchased for us on the cross of Calvary. With joy, Bible says, we shall draw water from the wells of salvation. And we've looked at the second part, which is right there in verse 17. Pray without ceasing. As Christians, we ought to be a people of prayer. We pray at all times and we don't give up. And may I remind us also that prayer as Bible teaches us, is not just a means of getting help when we're in trouble. It's actually a means of fellowshipping with God. Sometimes you don't have trouble that you can pinpoint, but you want to be in fellowship with God. You want to talk to your Father. Prayer is talking to God and also listening to Him. It's a two-way communication. I'm talking to God and He's talking back to me. And in the process of our fellowship, I'm receiving from Him what I didn't know before and the direction that I didn't have before. And He is able to then shepherd my life in the way to bring me to His expected end. He has a plan. He has a future for every one of us. There is none of us that is in this world by accident. God had a plan for us before He formed us in our mother's womb, and He brought us into this world at exactly the time He wanted us to come. The hour, the day, the place, the time, God ordained it. And when we learn to walk with Him, He will shepherd us day by day and guide us in the way to that expected end. He said to Jeremiah, that before I formed you, I knew you. And I foreordained that you should be a prophet unto the nations. And He knows also the thoughts that He thinks toward us, He says. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give us an expected end. And so today we are going to be looking at the third part, which is in verse 18. In everything, please underline in your Bible everything, not just in some things. In everything, give thanks. In everything, be thankful to God. In everything, we don't choose and pick. So we see right there that God is asking us to do something that, normally speaking, based on our human intellect, we would not want to do. Because left to me, what's the reason why I should give thanks to God when I'm in a situation that is not favorable to me? I thought I should give thanks to God only when things are going fine. When things are going according to my expectation, everything is in order as I expected them to be. So I will be able to lift my eyes to heaven and say, thank you, God, for the good life I'm living. Glory, hallelujah, praise God. Everything is just exactly as I wanted them. Ooh, what a wonderful life. Well, that's good. It's good to do that when things are going fine. How about when things are not going so fine? Am I going to stop thanking God? I still have to thank God. You see, thanking God is our expression of trust in Him. That no matter the situation, I know my God. He is there for me. And if God be for me, who can be against me? So why should I stop thanking God because my situation looks unfavorable? If I really know the God that I serve, there is absolutely nothing that comes my way in this world that should make me to stop thanking or praising God. Because I know that God is bigger than all my troubles. And God, my Father, has power to subdue the enemy under me. You see, the enemy we all have is not flesh and blood, you see, it's the devil. He can use people, he can use circumstances. But the enemy we have is the devil. He is the adversary to us all. He works against the plans of God for your life and for my life. You can make people be stools, okay, if they are available, or just use circumstances against me. But I know the real enemy is the devil, so I'm not worried about flesh and blood. So I look to God, who can take care of the devil for me. He can rebuke him for me and say to him, hey, you don't touch that one. Hey, you stop that. Only God has the power to do that. Not any man. And so, as long as I look to God, trust in Him, do my part, and don't become flaky in my walk of faith. Because many of us get a bit flaky, you see. We are walking by faith. Sometimes it's easy to say, oh, I believe the word of God. Wow, hallelujah. Everything is just exactly as I thought they would be. When I prayed, I saw an angel come and say, here is the answer. Wow, this Christianity is so wonderful. How about when you've been praying for a year and the situation has not changed? Has the Christianity stopped being wonderful? God never changes. His word never changes. We just have to learn to take our eyes off our circumstances. Don't let us be like Peter looking at the storm and sinking. Let us be like the Peter that looked to Jesus and walked on the water. Storm or no storm, with Jesus with us, we can overcome every situation. It's a question of focusing on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. It's a question of focusing on the head of the church, where is his body. He has already spoiled principalities and powers, Bible says. He has defeated the enemy for us. He said in John chapter 16, verse 33, in the world you shall have tribulation. But first he said, these things I have spoken unto you, so that in me you may have peace. Because in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. When we look to him, we are looking to the overcomer. Therefore, we will overcome. Hallelujah. But when we look to what the devil is doing, then how are we going to overcome? We have to learn to focus on God. So in everything, give thanks. Give thanks in everything. Don't murmur. Don't complain. Don't gripe. Don't look for somebody to blame. Because if we do all those things, we fall into the hand of the enemy, the devil. That's his design. When he brings situations against us, he wants us to sit down all day long, think about our problems, become discouraged, then we take our discouragement out on others, we get frustrated, we take the frustrations out on others, and we blame God even sometimes. God, why did you allow that to happen to me? God is not in the process of causing trouble for any of us. In James chapter 1, Bible says God doesn't tempt any man with evil. We know where problems of life come from, not from God. It's from the devil. That's why we have to look to God for the victory. We have to look to God for help out of all our afflictions. And one of the things he tells us to do is to thank him in everything. Thank him. So why are we thanking God? Well, we are thanking God because, number one, he says we should do so. And we are children of God. We have to obey him. So if God says in everything, thank me, well, my duty is to simply do so. Well, I don't understand why I should thank him in this situation, but he says I should thank him. So I'm going to thank him in this mess that I am. I'm going to thank God because I know when I obey him, he knows how to get me out of the mess. He's still the same God that got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fiery furnace. He's still the same God that got Daniel out of the lion's den. He hasn't lost his power to help his people who trust in him. So that's the first thing we have to understand. The reason why we must thank him in every situation. Notice it says there, in everything, thank him. So while you are in that situation, thank him. Don't wait until you get out before you say, oh, I'm going to go to church and hold a Thanksgiving service. God has delivered me. Well, it's good to thank him when you have experienced the goodness of the Lord in your life. But as a step of your faith, even before the situation changes, you do what God says you should do. Thank him. Thank him. Don't complain. Don't moan. Don't gripe. Thank him. Just thank him. Again, we are looking at all these three things the Bible says we should do here, rejoicing evermore, praying without ceasing, and then in everything, thanking God. We should do the three in harmony. We should do the three together because they flow together. But we have broken them down so that we can have clear understanding of what each one of them means, what is involved in thanking the Lord. Turn with me also this morning, while we are looking at that, before we make some notes to take home and meditate in, turn with me also to Ephesians chapter 5. So the word of God is consistent all through the Holy Scriptures. What we find somewhere, we'll find somewhere else. We just need to understand how to put everything together and form a perfect picture of the truth that we can live by. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, let us read together. Ephesians chapter 5, let us read together verse 20. But I'll encourage you when you get home read it from some verses before verse 20, so you can get it in a bit of context, because we see here Bible telling us how to live in these evil days. In fact, let me pick it up from verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Remember, we just read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you. So that's one of the will of God for us, to thank God in everything. Just as also to pray without ceasing, that's part of the will of God for us. To rejoice evermore is part of the will of God for us. So we have to understand what the will of God is, particularly in these evil days. Verse 19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Well, doesn't God know that I have problems? Why should I be singing and making melody when I have problems? I thought I should be complaining and moaning and griping. But God says I should be making melody in my heart, even when there seems to be nothing to make melody about. Just do it as a step of your faith, you see. Just obey God. God knows better. When we obey Him, He knows, as we shall see in a short while from now, He knows how to take what the devil has brought against you to do you evil. God knows how to turn it around for good and make that thing work for you. That is why He tells us to do things that are unusual, as far as we are concerned. Because why should I be making melody in the evil day? Why should I be singing psalms to God in the evil day? Well, God has power to turn things around for good for those who love Him. Hallelujah. Let's just obey God. That's all. Forget about our own human understanding. Actually, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Because our understanding is what gets in the way. And this natural mind, because it can't understand the ways of God, will argue with God and say, why should I do that? But we have to know that as Christians, the way to live is by using the mind of Christ in us, not the natural mind. There is the mind of Christ in us. That is the new mind that we have in the Spirit, the reborn Spirit of God, which we feed upon, which feeds upon the Word of God. When we meditate in the Word, the mind of Christ is activated in us. That's why the Bible says we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. The Word of God activates the mind of Christ in us and makes us to begin to think like God thinks, makes us to begin to see things from God's perspective rather than the perspective of our human understanding. And that's the way we defeat the devil, because the wisdom of God is what defeats the devil at all times. Not natural wisdom, the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 20. Let's read that together. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We are to give thanks always. We are to give thanks always, not when we feel like it. We are to give thanks always, whether we feel like it or not. Giving thanks always for all things. In other words, no matter the situation, no matter the experience, I'm going to thank God because I know God is for me. I know God is there to help me. And so I'm just going to bless Him anyhow and show Him that I trust Him. I'm not going to let what the devil is doing rob me of my duty to praise God. I have a duty to praise Him. I live to praise the Lord, because that is why I am a Christian. Bible says we're a royal priesthood, we're a holy nation, we're a peculiar people that God Himself has called to show forth His praises. There's no reason why we should stop praising God. We should praise Him all the time. Hallelujah. Let's turn also to Hebrews 13. Just get your pen and paper ready. I'm going to give you a few points to take home and meditate in before we close. Hebrews 13, 15. Hebrews 13, verse 15. So we are to give thanks always. Just thank God always. Whether you feel like it or not, just say, Father, well, I don't feel like thanking you in this situation, but because you said so, I'm just going to obey you and thank you anyhow. Let's be like Peter, who was smart enough after listening to Jesus' sermon in Luke chapter 5, after Jesus had used his boat to preach. And then he said to Jesus, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. But nevertheless, at thy word, I'm going to let down the net. You told me to put the net back in the water. We've toiled all night. We've not caught anything. Well, naturally speaking, I don't see any reason why I should do that. I already was washing my net before you came. But because of your word, I will do what you said. That's all. And when he did it, he was so surprised. We serve an awesome God. When we obey him, we will see God in motion, in a dimension that we never thought was possible. And that's what the devil doesn't want us to experience. That's why he will put pressure on us to do the opposite of what God says we should do in the world. Instead of thanking him, we'll say, what's there to thank God for? Just complain. You should be complaining. All the other people like you in this situation, they complain. God said, no, you thank me. Hallelujah. Just thank me. Glory be to God. Now look at what Bible says here. Hebrews chapter 13. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Key word there is continually. Continually means you are doing that thing without stopping. Nothing stops you. Whether the situation changes or not, God says I must praise him continually, so I praise him anyhow. Don't start and stop and start and stop and start and stop. Just do it and keep doing it. The just shall live by faith. It's a lifestyle. It's not based on our experiences. It's based on the word of God. We just do what God says. That's all. And we leave the rest to him. Power belongs to God, not to the devil. So if I obey God, he will show himself strong in my behalf. It's as simple as that. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Hallelujah. So I can be in a mess and remember the word of God and lift my voice to God and say, Father, I thank you that you are my Father in heaven. You are the glory and the lifter up of my head. You are my very present help in trouble. I praise you because you promise that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you deliver him out of them all. Therefore, there is a way out of this mess for me, and you are my way out. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Blessed be your holy name, great Jehovah. Hallelujah. That's what it means. And that's the way of victory. Because while you are praising him and thanking him, his presence will come. Paul and Silas, we all know the account in the Bible. They were in prison, but Bible says in the midnight hour, they prayed and they sang praises to God. And God's presence came in that prison and shook that prison. There was a great earthquake there. Why? Because every time you thank and praise God, his presence comes. Psalm 22 verse 3. God inhabits the praises of his people. That's why the devil doesn't want us to praise him. He knows. He knows how God responds to praise. He was the archangel responsible for praise in heaven when he was Lucifer. Before he rebelled against God and became Satan. And God cast him out of heaven. He understands how praise is so important to God and how God will respond when you praise him. He knows. So he will tell you in your mind, well, you wait for the miracle before you praise him. Well, are you going to get the miracle? Is it not God that will give it to you? And you're already disobeying him. Just praise him anyhow. Say, well, I don't go by what I see. I go by the word of God. We walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. Just praise him anyhow. Let's turn now to Psalm 34 verse 1. Very popular psalm. Just obey God. That's all. It doesn't matter what your need may be here this morning. If you will just obey the word of God and give thanks to him. Not because he's responsible for your trouble, but because it's your way out of the trouble. That's why you are thanking him. You are not thanking him for causing you trouble. He's not responsible for it. But it's your way of victory in that trouble. So you thank him as such. Psalm 34 verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. Again, look at the expression. The phrase, at all times. Not sometimes. At all times. Whether the going is easy or not, I will bless the Lord. Whether things are working fine or not, according to my own human understanding, I will bless the Lord. I'm just going to praise him and thank him, no matter the situation. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall, again, keyword, continually. Continually. Non-stop. Continually be in my mouth. Please, write this down so that you can go back home and meditate on what we are sharing. Christians are thankful to God always because number one, it is the will of God for us. Christians are thankful to God always because, number one, it is the will of God for us. That's one major reason why we thank the Lord always. Again, in front of that, write the scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Then number two, because God inhabits our praises. So again, the reason why as Christians we thank God, we give thanks to him always, no matter the situation, is because it is the will of God for us. So we are doing the will of God. Number two, because we know that in thanking God, we are giving God a presence in our situation. He inhabits the praises. So when you are in a mess and you begin to praise God, God's presence comes into that mess with you. And you know when God's presence comes into the mess with you, it is to get you out of the mess. It's your way out of every difficulty. You have to bring his presence in order to get out of the mess. If God doesn't come in to get you out, who is going to get you out? So God inhabits. The word inhabit means to dwell upon or to be enthroned. So when you begin to praise God, you help him set a throne. And you know when the king sits on the throne, it is to judge and to dispense justice. And that's why you can get the victory. He will judge the enemy for you because you have enthroned him. There is no way a king can reign without sitting on a throne. Even a judge in the court cannot give justice without sitting on his desk. Then he sits, hit the desk with his gavel, and then he can dispense justice. Hallelujah. So when we don't praise God, we deny ourselves the justice and the judgment that God has for us in that situation. He can judge the enemy for us. He says, don't avenge yourself. Vengeance is mine. I will recompense. Oh, give God the opportunity. Just thank Him, praise Him. Let Him come in and help you and give you victory, give you the justice that you deserve in the situation. Number three, reason why we give thanks to God is because it is our show of trust in God's ability. It is our show of trust in God's ability to make all things work together for good. For us. In front of that, please write these two scriptures. Let us turn there as we begin to round up. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Let's turn to Romans 8 first. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. But in context, we are going to read it from verse 26. We all love to read this passage of scripture. Verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now verse 28. And we know, that's the key, we have to know this. Every Christian ought to know this. We have to know it by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Don't try to know it by your natural mind. Your natural mind cannot comprehend how something contrary to you can work for you. This mind cannot understand it. But then the Holy Spirit in you brings the light and enlightens the eyes of your spirit, and suddenly you begin to see it from another perspective. Oh, God is able to make light shine out of darkness. God is able to turn around what the devil intends for evil to work out his purpose for my life. He's done it before. He can do it again. Didn't he do it for Joseph? He gave Joseph a dream. The devil tried to stop the dream. The devil tried to mess up the plan of God for Joseph's life. He was sold into slavery. Well, you see, the devil didn't know he was helping God carry out the plan, because the plan would be fulfilled in Egypt, not where Joseph was when he had the dream. And here comes a slave boy to Egypt. But God was sending him ahead of time to save his generation from famine. The brothers thought the dream was gone. Look at this dreamer. First, they wanted to kill him. But you see, when God's hand is upon you, the devil cannot take you away before your time. He just can't. It's not possible. So eventually, he was sold into slavery. Goes in there, gets in Potiphar's wife. The devil is trying to mess him up again, because after getting in Potiphar's wife, Potiphar's house, rather, the devil began to use the woman, the Potiphar's wife, to try to make him stumble. Why? Because he realized that the favor of God was upon this Joseph in Potiphar's house. And he wanted to stop it. But Joseph passed the test. Ends up in prison. Becomes who God said he would become eventually. Then the brothers came to him. Now they are very, very regretful. Realizing they really messed up. Now Joseph is in a position to kill all of them now. But you know, what did he say to them? He said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You see, God can turn what the enemy intends for evil around to work out good for you. That's why you should thank him. All right. Verse 28, and we know that all things, not some, all things, including your troubles and my troubles, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Because when God puts his hand on the mess becomes a blessing. He's the same God that saw darkness at the beginning and said, let there be light. He's God. Don't underestimate the power of God. Power belongs to God, not to the devil. He can try to mess up your life, but you let God in to that situation and see how that situation turns around for good. In closing, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we just have to believe the word of God. Tell our minds to shut up. Natural minds, that is, and open up the mind of the Holy Spirit, the mind of Christ in us, through the word, and say, well, if God says it, then he knows how to do it. He cannot lie. I'm just going to trust him and let him be God and prove himself in my situation. Verse 17, for our light, or better still, let me pick it from verse 16 in a bit of context, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. Please underline down your Bible. Worketh for us. Oh, my troubles are working for me. That's what the Bible says. But my mind can't understand that. This trouble, how can it work for me? It's against me. It's working against me. Well, God gave me a dream. They've sold me into slavery. How can that work for me? See, the human mind is in a fallen state. It cannot grasp the things of God. We need to open up the mind of Christ in us that trusts in God and enables us to do so. Say, well, if God said it, he knows how to do it. He can open a way through the Red Sea. He can bring manna from heaven to feed these people. So he knows. I don't understand how he's going to do it, but he knows how to do his job. I'm just going to believe and let God be God. Hallelujah. So Bible says our afflictions, we call them big problems, God, but God says they are little. They are little problems. They are light problems. They are working for us, not against us. Why? Because God will never allow something to happen to you that you cannot overcome. While we're in that same Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, turn to chapter 1, please, with me, and look at verse 10. Let me just drop that in here. That's why you can believe that your troubles that you have right now, with God, with God's intervention, will work for good for you. So stop seeing those troubles as contrary to you. Start praising God and thanking him that he can turn them around for good in your life. Why? Because he already said so. Now look at verse 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Who will not suffer, the word suffer there means allow, suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to be a hit. Hallelujah. So God is faithful to ensure that nothing comes your way, no trial of life, no temptation, no trouble comes your way except what you are able to go through, which means God assesses it before he allows the enemy to bring it your way. If it is something beyond your measure or your capability to cope with it, God will block it. It will never get to you. So whatsoever troubles you and I have today, God saw them and he made a way of escape already for us. And here's the way. He will guide us out of it. That's why we should give him thanks. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's rise to our feet this morning. No matter what the situation may be, we can thank God because we know it is his will. We know it is his will. And we know that every time we give him thanks, we give him opportunity to be enthroned and to give us the help that we require in that situation. And we know also that God is able to turn these things around for good. So we show him that we trust him by thanking him right where we are. Hallelujah. Well, let's act in faith upon that before we go this morning. You may not know my troubles. I may not know your troubles. But God knows all our troubles. He's waiting on us to obey him. He needs our faith in order to carry out his own part of the covenant agreement. So right where you are, lift your hands to him and thank him that he is your source of help. Thank him that he is the one that will give you the victory in that situation. Thank him that he is the one who saves us out of all troubles. As Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord God delivers him out of them all. So that's why you thank God. You thank God for the victory. You are not thanking him for the trouble. He's not responsible for the trouble. But you are thanking him for being your source of victory, your source of help, your way out of that adversity. So go ahead and do so. Just thank him. Perhaps you've been praying. It's good to pray, but then we have to have thanksgiving to it. That's why those three things must flow together. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Everything, give thanks. As we put those three together, we will be able to walk in victory every day in every situation because we are bringing God's presence on the scene. And God never fails. Go ahead and thank him. Go ahead and thank him. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be your holy name. Dear everlasting God, we lift our hands and our voices to you this morning. In obedience to your word, to do your will, to thank you as the God of our salvation, who daily loads us with benefits. You are God indeed. There is no other beside you. You are the Alpha and Omega, the Ahem that I am. In your hand is power to subdue all things to yourself and accomplish your will here on earth as it is in heaven. Behold your children here this morning, giving you thanks in obedience to your instruction, acknowledging you, O God, as the source of help that we have. For we look not to any created thing, but to you, the Creator. So we thank you, Lord, that as we give thanks to you, you minister to us the help, the victory, the blessings, the breakthroughs, oh God, and the turnaround for good that you promise us in your word. And take all the glory, dear Lord. Oh, as you help us to daily do our knowing that you never fail to do yours. Thank you, Father. For in Jesus' name we pray. Everyone says, amen. Now wave your hands to him and just give him some more thanks in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.